to spiritual warfare. Ephesians chapter 6. I think it does fit in well with what Brother Zach has already mentioned to us about prayer, because if we know that we are in a spiritual conflict that is not a playground, that is not a small thing, it will certainly or should drive us to be a people of prayer. Another thing that's encouraging, and if you've been a believer for very long at all, been following the Lord for very long at all, I think you're probably pretty well aware that you're in a spiritual battle, that you're in a conflict, that you have an adversary, that you have been deceived before and have been led astray by being deceived. You know that you even can't even blame your sins on your adversary, because you know that you yourself have a sinful nature that is prone to wander from the Lord and is prone to look away from Him. And you know that you live in this fallen, corrupt world that is like a tidal wave that is not going towards the Lord, but a powerful tidal wave that's going away from the Lord. And so you're swimming upstream with an adversary in the devil and with a sinful nature in yourself, that this thing would be totally impossible, right, if it was without the grace and the power of God. But you know that you're in a conflict. You know that you're in a battle. But before I look at this passage, it's so encouraging to us to know that our Savior Jesus also endured spiritual warfare. Isn't that a blessing to know that? Jesus, our Savior, endured spiritual warfare. Now, He did not have the sinful nature that's prone to wander from His God, from His Father that we have, praise be to His name. Therefore, He's qualified to be our Savior because He's spotless and pure. But Jesus Christ Himself endured an onslaught of the attacks of the enemy. There, obviously, the most famous place is there in the wilderness. Remember, when Jesus as a man is tired, it's a time when Satan attacks often, isn't it? When Jesus as a man was tired, when Jesus was hungry, when Jesus was alone. Wow, sound familiar? Points of weakness, alone, tired, maybe hungry. And the enemy pounced on Him then with great vigor. But our salvation is in part based upon the fact that Jesus was faithful in the wilderness temptation. Because we know that if He'd fallen even just a little bit, that He Himself would have been spoiled and defiled with sin and therefore could not save anybody else, not even Himself, because He Himself would be a sinner. But we can go into spiritual battle with confidence, with joy, knowing that because we're in Christ, Christ has overcome the wicked one, and because we're in Christ, we also are overcomers, and so therefore we are not just without hope, without resources, without means. So as we think about being in spiritual conflict, we have courage, we have encouragement to know that, hey, Jesus also was in spiritual warfare. He won His spiritual warfare. And because He won, I am going to win ultimately, and I can win and have victories even now because of His grace. But also we know that as a man, He understands what it is to be tempted. Hebrews 2:18 says that, "For in that He Himself hath suffered being tempted, He is able to succor or help or aid or relieve those that are tempted." So we can cry out to the Lord in the midst of our weakness and know that He has compassion upon us in our needs of spiritual warfare. So let's just try to glean a few thoughts from this passage tonight. Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. A couple of things. First, he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Has to be one of the most encouraging verses in the Bible, I think. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. In the Greek, there's three different words for power here. Be strong is one word in the Lord and in the power of his might. And in the Greek, it's translated three different words. It is three different words, but all synonyms for power, strength, might. So he's saying all of your resources, everything you need is found in the Lord. So be strong. So be strong. He's not saying be tough in yourself, but he is saying, hey, this is battle talk. This is battle language. So you must be strong. You must be strong by depending on the Lord. You're not looking to your own strength, but you're depending on the strength of heaven. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You say, well, how do I be strong? I mean, be strong. What do you just think strong thoughts? Or what do? Be strong. Well, we know that God, obviously, many times, and does directly, mysteriously, spiritually, however you say it, strengthen us that we just can't even explain. He gives us strength that we've all experienced that we just did not have in and of ourselves. But we also know that God has ordered, if you will, avenues of strength. It's what some of the old writers called means of grace, means of strength. We know that there are ways that God has ordained to strengthen his people. So in other words, don't say this. Don't say, well, I'm not strong, but I'm trying to be strong in the Lord, but I just feel like I'm weak. Well, are you in the Word of God? So, well, no, I hadn't done that, but I've been saying, God, come strengthen me. Come strengthen me. Well, we know that God, just as you would be foolish in the natural physical realm, say, I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm weak. I have no energy. My blood sugar is low. I feel like I can't even think. I can't function. Well, have you eaten today? No, I haven't. I know it's 6:30 at night. I haven't even found the time to eat. Well, I think probably your problem, maybe you need to eat a bite, right? Well, God is going to bless us naturally as we eat the food, right, that he's created. So spiritually, say, well, why am I not strong? Why am I feeling so blah towards the Lord? Why is my love for him so weak? Oh yeah, I haven't even been in the Word this week. I haven't even meditated on the Scriptures. I haven't filled my mind with these precious truths of God's Word that always encourage me and convict me and spur me on in the right direction. So when he says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, it leads us, should lead us to dependence, saying, Lord, I'm weak. I'm depending on you for strength. And I'm going to look to your avenues of strength, the ways that you strengthen, the ways that I know that you strengthen, which I know will be through your word. And then another one is through prayers. Brother Zach prayed. Ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray? When you met with great temptation, did you think to pray? What a simple song and yet a powerful message. Have you called on the name of the Lord? Have you poured your soul out to the Lord? Have you said, Lord, I am weak. I need you. A brother that I deeply respect, a man, just a giant in my eyes, is a man of God. Remember one time he said, my first prayer every morning is, Lord, I need you today. I need you today. I thought, wow, man, if he needs to pray that, he's miles above me. Lord, I need you today. And so we be strong in the Lord and the power of his might leads us to an attitude of faith, of dependence, saying, Lord, I can't do this. Should lead us to seek the avenues through which we know God will strengthen us, through his word, through prayer, through the fellowship of the saints, through being in the house of God, through meditation, memorization, all these things that we could list. So we know that God, in strange ways that we can't even explain, strengthens his people, and we pray for that. But we also know that God, also in ways we can't fully explain, is going. He's promised and is in the habit of strengthening us through these avenues of his working. He says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. He says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We're not in a military conflict like with human enemies with machine guns and hand grenades. He says we're in a spiritual battle. We're wrestling against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We're in a spiritual conflict. There's the powers of darkness that are opposed to the kingdom of light. Remember when Brother Lewis preached a meeting here a few years ago, preached on this passage of Scripture, spiritual warfare. And I remember one of the things he said that stuck with me is that this spiritual conflict is really not so much about us as it is about the Lord Jesus Christ. We're the target of the enemy because of who we're with. We're the target of Satan because we're with Jesus Christ, and Satan hates the Lord Jesus Christ. So we are all are part of a, really it's a cosmic conflict of good versus evil, of the enemy opposed to the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is more than just about, this is Timothy, this is kind of my life struggle, this is who I am. No, this is me because I, by grace, am in Christ. And so because I'm in Christ, the kingdom that I was once in is really upset and wants to hinder me because I'm with Him. So it's really about His glory. This should even up the ante in our minds of this. Wow, this is because I represent, I follow the Lord Jesus Christ. But the good news is that God has, because it's just like God, has not left His children alone to fight this battle. He's provided us with armor. Isn't that encouraging? Because listen, if we're just in this on our own, I'm depressed. I'm defeated. I'm already done. But He says, put on the whole armor of God. God has supplied you with effective armor so that you can engage in this spiritual conflict. Verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand, to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. I love that. Withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand, so stand. So stand in the battle. Hold your ground in the battle. Hold fast, stand fast in the Lord. Not backing up, not sitting it out, right? But in the battle, in the conflict, following Christ, standing in the battle. Not ignoring your sins or our sins. Not ignoring your difficulties, ignoring your weaknesses. Not living in la-la land spiritually, saying, if I just ignore this long enough, it'll go away. Not being asleep at the wheel. But He says, get in the battle. You're in the battle, He says, and stand. Stand. Stand in the battle. He says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. So we all have heard messages of how that they wear these long flowing robes and you couldn't really be ready for battle with this long garment all the way down. So roll it up. Tie up that belt. Make sure that belt is good and you're ready to go fight the battle. Having your loins girt about with truth. For this understood as the possibility is the idea of truthfulness, of sincerity, of purity, or just the idea of truth itself. So you're believing truth. You're laying hold of the truth. He doesn't say have your loins girt about with your feelings, right? Have your loins girt about with your feelings. Doesn't say that. He says have your loins girt about with truth. So you're believing the truth. You're filling your mind with the truth. He says having on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate covers the vital organs, right? And their armor. So boys, little boys, right? You've seen pictures of Roman soldiers maybe, or some of those ancient soldiers. Those breastplates look pretty cool, don't they? I mean, those things look, wow, that would be neat to have one of those things to wear. It's pretty important. Guy comes at you with a sword to jab. Your shield was maybe a little low, but boom, wow, I'm really glad that breastplate was there to protect my heart or my lungs. So these vital organs. He says, having on the breastplate protection of what? Of righteousness. Of righteousness. I think it's perfectly legitimate to pull a John Gill here and say it's both, right? It's not either and. It's not either or. It's both and. It's the righteousness of Christ and it's the practical living out of righteousness. Listen, it's essential in the battle to know that you're righteous. To have the assurance that you're righteous in Christ. So you're reminding yourself, see, the gospel of Jesus is so essential for victory in this battle. That you're not, maybe you get up tomorrow morning and you say, man, I feel like I've already taken two blows to the head already. I'm already struggling with doubt. I'm already struggling with anger about some situation. I'm already full of anxiety and fear. I might as well just get back in bed and forget this. I'm not a Christian after all. I'm just lousy. I'm no good. Like Brother Zach just said. What is it time to do? It's time to get on the breastplate of righteousness. It's time to remind yourself that your righteousness before God is not in necessarily how you're doing today, but your righteousness is based upon the performance of another, and that your standing with God is based upon the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. And then you're empowered. Yes, now start putting on the new man. Start putting on faith. Start taking off anger. Start putting on patience and kindness and all of these things. Jeremiah 23 says, "This is the name whereby he shall be called," speaking of the Messiah, "the Lord, our righteousness." Got to know you're righteous. You lay hold on your righteousness that's found in the Lord Jesus Christ. It gives you strength to fight. So then, yes, yes, you're practically putting on righteousness. You're practically putting on, today, I want to walk in the fear of the Lord. I want to take off this sinful fault. So I'm not going to let it dwell there. I'm going to take it off, and I want to put on truth. I want to put on humility. We could go on and on down the list. And then he says in verse 15, he says, "Having and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." All right, little boys, you got your attention with the breastplate. Maybe little girls too, they might like this. The feet shod, those Roman soldiers, Brother Zach talked about it here before. They don't have little tennis shoes they're wearing, right? They certainly don't have little sandals, little flip-flops, I should say. They've got these cleats, basically, these good, solid hobnail boots, right, with the cleats, with these spikes that go into the ground. Because if you're in hand-to-hand combat and somebody kind of comes against you and you kind of trip and fall, you're in really bad shape. They're going to, boom, you're done. But if you kind of get knocked back a little bit, you can regain your footing, right? Because you got these solid spikes that grip into the ground and hold you up. He says, "Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." Because sometimes in the battle we get knocked back, don't we? Sometimes in the conflict we take a blow. And you know what? If it wasn't for the gospel, we'd get knocked all the way down to the ground and they'd cut our head off and we'd be done. But the gospel of peace tells us that in Christ, I can regain my footing, right? That in Christ, I can regain my strength because I'm at peace with Him, because He's at peace with me because of Jesus Christ. So in the battle, because we're all going to take blows, aren't we? We're all going to take blows. Most of them are our own fault. So instead of just falling down, I'm hopeless, I'm despair, I can regain my ground because I'm standing on, my hope is built on nothing less than what? Than Jesus' blood and righteousness. So the enemy may say, "What are you doing in the fight? I mean, you messed up yesterday. Why are you acting like you're a Christian today? Why are you going to pray? You're going to pray? You're really going to pray after the way that you just, talked to your wife or your kids or you had this thought? Really?" And you say, "Hey, I believe the gospel. I believe the good news. I don't preach myself. I don't believe in myself. I believe in one greater than I." So this gospel peace that declares the holy God is at peace with sinners through Christ. He's made them righteous and washed their sins away. He's risen from the grave to give them eternal victory that enables me to hold my ground, to hold my ground. Then he says, "Above all, taking this shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." The imagery here is obvious with the shield of faith. What is faith? It's believing God. It's trusting Jesus Christ. It's relying upon God. It's believing His word. It's believing His word. Simple, isn't it? Simple definition, but deep and powerful, isn't it? Believe the word of God, right? Trust God's character. Rely on Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Believe the promises of God. And what will that be in our lives? Haven't we all, I mean, you've experienced this, right? You've served the Lord very long. You've experienced this. It's a shield. It's a shield of faith. It's a shield that protects you from the fiery darts of the wicked. You take the shield down, faith starts getting low, not really believing God's promises, really trusting yourself, and what happens? Man, boom, boom, boom. Fiery dart after fiery dart that comes and says, "Wow, that, I need to get the shield back up." He says, "Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." This helmet of salvation, 1 Thessalonians calls it take for a helmet the hope of salvation. So it's this idea of this eternal perspective we're filling our minds with. We are on the winning side, right? Christ has conquered for us, and so therefore we will have victory. So at Carville right now, going through 2 Peter, we've been talking the last couple of Sundays about the new heavens and the new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness, and just having a great time. At least I am thinking about the glory that awaits the people of God. What is this? This is putting on the helmet of salvation. In the midst of the spiritual battle and conflict, we're constantly reminding ourselves of the big picture. That in Christ we're overcomers, in Christ we're victors, and this gives us motivation and strength to keep fighting, to keep running the race, because we have victory. And then he says, take and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit. I like to think of it this way, is that the Bible is the Holy Spirit's sword. Think about that. The Bible is the Holy Spirit's sword. Now, I know the Holy Spirit is the Spirit, but just kind of imagine Him, if you will. I think this is okay, as a big, strong, mighty, giant warrior who's got an awesome sword, and he's swinging. You know what that is? That's the Bible. The Spirit of the Lord uses the Word of God to cut down our enemies, to cut down our sins, and enable us to move forward in this spiritual conflict. God has equipped us. God has equipped us. I remember several years ago, I realized that I needed to preach some sermons on fear and anxiety. You know why? Because I needed them. And I was like, man, I just feel like this is swallowing me up again and again. I can't overcome. And since as I begin to just dig into the Word of God and read other biblical writers on this subject, I'm not telling you today that I've conquered fear and anxiety. Maybe tomorrow I'll be shaking in my boots, you know, hopefully not. But now when fear and anxiety come at me, and I don't respond perfectly every time, now I say, wait, I know. I've got some tools. I've got some weapons. I've got a sword here. I can swing. I can get through this with God's grace. Now, remind myself of those principles again. What are those verses again? What is that truth again? That's the Holy Spirit's sword. Isn't it wonderful? To cut down our enemies and help us to overcome. And then Brother Zach mentioned prayer. So in the middle of this conflict, with the grace that God has given to us in giving us this armor, in giving us these tools to fight our spiritual battle, he says this: praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. What is the hymn? He may have quoted a minute ago. He always does. Prayer is a weapon for the feeble. Weakest souls can wield it best. So as we're in the Word of God, as we're putting on the breastplate of righteousness, as we're trying to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might, we're praying. We're saying, God, I need You today. We're confessing our sins. We're thanking Him for His grace. We're bringing our petitions before Him. We're coming boldly to the throne of grace. Even when, as He said, our prayers feel weak and they feel lousy and not eloquent, we're saying, Lord, I don't care. I need You. I call on Your name. And then notice this. He says, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. You know what this tells me? Is that in our prayers for each other, we are helping one another in our spiritual conflict. If I was going to go to war, I don't want to go alone, right? I want some good, tough guys next to me, because they're going to help me. When I start to get weird, but I'm going to have to help them too. Isn't it powerful to think about? Brother Zach always exhorts, pray for one another. All of our pastors pray for one another. Is that just church talk? Is that just sounds good? Or does God really use that? Does God really use your prayers for brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so to supply them with the resources that they happen to need in that day in the midst of their spiritual conflict? I believe He does. Isn't that amazing? So He says, you're praying one for another. Then Paul says, and you pray for me. Because part of this conflict is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Remember, this is a battle, a cosmic battle between the enemy of the powers of darkness and the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the gospel of Christ is of great, is at center stage really in this conflict. So he said, Paul says, pray for me that I will boldly be able to preach this gospel. So that should be our prayer in the midst of spiritual warfare. It's not just let's survive and make it to heaven, but Lord, let us be faithful here and be protected, and may Your word travel and go forward and be boldly preached in the midst of this conflict. So Paul says, and for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. You might say, Paul, you need prayer? I mean, you're the apostle Paul. I mean, you preach and folks repent. You preach and stuff happens. And Paul would say, it's not me. I'm weak. He told the Corinthians, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. I didn't use enticing words of man's wisdom. It wasn't because I'm eloquent Paul. Yeah, Paul had a lot of knowledge and he used it well. And he had amazing background and he used it well. But Paul said, pray that God gives the power to the gospel, that it has impact upon people's lives, that I may make it boldly, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. So, we are in a conflict. But Jesus was also in a conflict. And because Jesus was faithful and overcame, all of his people will ultimately overcome and can have greater victory to overcome even now. So I pray that as you meditate upon a very familiar passage of Scripture, that this will bless you, that this will encourage you in your spiritual warfare, and that as we use the weapons, we'll be praying often, as Brother Zach has exhorted us.